And let us pray. Lord God, you loved this world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that we might be called your children too. Lord, help us to live in the gladness and grace of Easter Sunday every day of our lives. And let us have hearts and thankfulness for your sacrifice. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary Magdalene, quite a young lady. She had faced a very hard life. She had been exploited physically, tortured spiritually, and despised socially. And we are told that she had been possessed and oppressed by 7 demons and illnesses. We are also told that Jesus had healed her. She knew it was Jesus that had healed her, and so she became one of his followers who listened to Jesus teach about the love of God and the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. And so Jesus had a very profound effect on her life. And then, of course, the tragedy came. Jesus was arrested. Mary Magdalene was one of those who had waited anxiously while Jesus was in custody in the temple and also the Roman guards. And she was there when Jesus was marched through the streets of Jerusalem out of the place of his execution. And she had witnessed the horror and abuse that Jesus was forced to endure. For those who had loved one endure misery not be able to do anything about it, many of you might know what she was feeling at that time. She watched Jesus suffer and die and was there when all that happened. And I imagine she probably was wondering why all of this was happening. That all took place, of course, on Friday. But now it's Sunday. Mary is going to the tomb where Jesus was placed to anoint his body for a proper burial. Because it was the Sabbath, this could not be done on the day that Jesus died. But when she gets to the tomb, what does she find? There's something wrong. The tomb is not sealed. And all the guards that were guarding it have left. Unsure of what's going on, Mary runs back to where the disciples are, and she tells them that Jesus' body is missing. It's not in the tomb. Mary assumes that that body had been taken. And so two of the disciples, Peter and John, they run to the tomb to see for themselves. And I love John, because here he inserts a little bit of pride by telling us that he outran Peter to the tomb. And when they arrive, they find what Mary said to be true. Jesus' body is not there. And Mary is crying. She is deeply troubled. And what do these men do? Do they try to comfort her? Do they ask her to join them in the search? Do they give her any kind of hope? And the answer, of course, is no. What do? They leave her at the tomb by herself. And so here Mary finds herself. She seems like she's been abandoned. She believes she is alone. And what is she to do? Well, she decides to go and look inside the tomb. Have you ever looked for in the same place over and over when you cannot find something? We human beings tend to doubt ourselves and wonder if we could have missed something. I have that problem when I'm looking for my car keys. I knew I put them someplace, but where? Well, maybe what we're looking for will magically appear if we look at and around again for it. And how many times have those of us who follow Jesus heard this particular story? How many times have we read it and heard it in sermons? Yet no matter how many times you hear this story, it seems never to grow old. It's one of those stories that have the power to deeply touch our hearts. It's a story that is that of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit touches the heart with truth. And so Mary looks inside the tomb, shocked. Why? Because now the tomb is not empty. There are two individuals that Mary does not recognize. And she assumes they had something to do with the body of Jesus missing. And so she asks them, "They have taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." What a place for anyone to be in. Confused, afraid, probably a bit angry. How could anyone play a trick like this? How could anyone be so cruel as to steal Jesus' body? I think it's fair to say that this experience has brought a lot of stress and probably a lot of anxiety into Mary's life. But then Mary feels another presence. She turns, and there is another figure behind her. She doesn't recognize him. She thinks it's the gardener. And maybe this person had something to do with Jesus' body being gone. And Mary asks, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And then this stranger says one word to her, "Mary." She knows that voice. It is the voice that brought her freedom. It is that voice that changed her life. It is the voice that she did not expect to ever hear again. Jesus says, "Mary." Now I can just imagine how the face of Mary changed when she heard her name. Perhaps it was a sudden rush of joy that she was experiencing. In fact, I don't even know how she stayed on her feet, but she did. And the text seems to indicate that she sought to grab Jesus and not to let go. But the Lord tells her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Jesus then gives her an assignment. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and our Father, and to my God and your God." Mary becomes the first post-resurrection person to preach and share the good news. Jesus is alive. His work is going to continue. Mary has seen him. The woman who came early that morning carrying the burden of deep sorrow is now filled with joy and excitement. She has seen the Lord. He is alive. And the hope Mary has been carrying as she followed Jesus was now given greater power and intensity. Everything that Jesus had said was true. Even death could not hold Jesus back. Well, I thought to myself as I was preparing this message, what does this resurrection prove to us? And I think there are three things that come to mind. First of all, it proves that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. Why? Because no mere human, none of us, can beat death. People have been raised from the dead before, we know that. In the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead, but it was by God's power and his authority. And even before his death, during his earthly ministry, Jesus raised people from the dead. But no one had previously taken their own life back from the dead until Jesus did on this Easter Sunday. His resurrection proves that he claimed to be what he claimed to be. He is the one and only true God. It means that we can trust him when he makes a promise to each and every one of us. And then his resurrection also proves that our sins have been forgiven. As Mary Magdalene had gathered up the spices that she was taking to tomb that early Sunday to care for her Lord's dead body, she assumed that her Lord's death on the cross was the ultimate defeat. But nothing could be further from the truth. That had been God's plan all along. Jesus willingly went to that cross on Good Friday for all of us. The Son of God had to die. He had to die to pay the eternal penalty for our sins and what they deserved. And he did it. He did it. And just before he died, Jesus cries out, "It is finished." And it's on that Calvary's mountain Jesus turned God's anger over our sins away from us, and he directed that righteous anger onto himself. And so we know our forgiveness has been won. And finally, that resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead also assures each and every one of us of what is going to happen to us when we die. Christ's resurrection gives us the ultimate comfort in the face of death. And Easter Sunday proves to each and every one of us that our God has the power over death. Jesus assures us of that in these words: "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever dies or whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." That resurrection, his resurrection, has opened the doors of heaven wide open for each and every one of us. And when we die, our Lord will take us to his home, that home in heaven, to be with him for eternity. And when he returns on that last day, the day of judgment, he will also raise our bodies from the grave. He will make our body as glorious, just like his body, after he rose from the dead. We are assured of that because of Christ's resurrection on this Easter Sunday. We will have eternal life with him. So why was Jesus' tomb empty? Where did the body go? Did the disciples take it? No, the disciples ran and hid. The gardener didn't take it. He didn't move that body. His body was not stolen or hidden or lost. Jesus was not in the tomb because God had raised God's Son from the dead. He was not just cleaned up dead. He was fully resurrected back to life. And on this Sunday morning, and every Sunday, we're reminded of that. This is our hope. This is the reason why we gather here this day. My dear brothers and sisters, we thank God that Christ is risen, because it changes everything. It makes today and every day a very good day to be a Christian. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.